Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever, and then we talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and today I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And today we have a long-time listener, first-time host, Mr. Andy Conduit Turner. How's it going, Andy?
Really well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no worries. Andy is a spreadsheet wizard, you could say. He's a number cruncher. He's also like in the Horror Hangout board of advisors. He's always got interesting things to say. And I'm hoping, I don't want to put you on the spot, Andy, but I'm hoping you have some brilliant nuggets of conversation for today.
The word hot takes has been used. Yeah. Mostly by myself,
promised us some hot takes, so
not too hot though, please. You
know, no, just nice in your hands. You can hold them. It's not like a
they're cool
like a steak, like a steak slice. Yeah. Fresh from Greg's. Oh, other lovely bakeries are available.
I get really annoyed at Greg's because every time I go, they always give me the cold one. I'm sure they look at me and go, he deserves a cold one. I think maybe my tastes are too particular. I always get the one that has like low turnover. And it tends to be those ones that tend to be cold.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But to be fair, I don't like a scalding hot steak bake because you always end up doing this embarrassing thing.
You're gobbing meat on the floor in the middle of the high street. It's not good for anyone.
You can't eat a Greg's like without being messy anywhere because it flakes. Like the pastry is too flaky and it just sort of flies out everywhere.
You haven't thought about looking sexy while you're eating a Greggs at all. They're missing a real trick.
Yeah. You collect all the flakes in the bag and then you drink them at the end.
Really? I think it's too flaky. I think it's too... You breathe and it sort of puffs up into the air. You can't contain that into a bag.
I can already tell this is going to be the best episode yet.
Yeah.
This Greggs sponsorship isn't coming off now, is it? Like, they're not going to enjoy this at all. No, you're getting the cold steak slice forever.
Oh man, that cold steak, like, it just tastes rubbery to me. Okay, anyway, so on the last episode we talked about The Innocents, which was firmly sort of off the cliff. That's the new expression there, off the cliff. But today we're going to be talking about number 30 on the list, It Follows. Ben, do you want to tell us a little bit about the film?
Sure, Luke, why the hell not? Okay, It Follows is a 2014 American supernatural psychological horror film written and directed by David Robert Mitchell. It stars Micah Monroe, Keir Gilchrist, Daniel Zavato, Jake Weary, they're listing the whole cast here, Olivia Liccardi, and Lily Sepe. The plot follows a teenage girl, Jay, who is pursued by a supernatural entity after a sexual encounter. Oh!
Cool. Okay, so this is what the Empire people have to say. They said here, it's a strong contender for the best horror film of 2014. But I kind of feel like if they put it on this list, it must be the best film of 2014. Because this is their top 50 ever. But they say it's a strong contender for the best horror film of 2014.
Maybe the person they asked to write an opinion about it was like, I don't even like that film that much. They're like, yeah. Well, you need to write an opinion about it being on the top 50 horror films ever.
They don't
it
want to commit.
It
wasn't
even the best one of 2014.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so It Follows runs with its brilliant central concept and never drops the ball. We never really learn what the it is, except that it's a mysterious entity that's somehow sexually transmitted. Sexually. Manifesting as a variety of shuffling injured strangers, or sometimes as people known to the victims, it inexorably pursues. It's an interesting twist on the slasher movie, promiscuous teen gets killed trope, with the wrinkle that if you find yourself affected, you can just shag someone else and get rid of it, like a chain letter, which is the sequel. That rule takes the film to some very dark places. It's got 97% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's only got 6.9 on IMDb. So it's like the least, like the lowest rating IMDb film I think we've had. Why is that? Why is IMDb so odd in its sort of rating systems?
Do you reckon those guys run on the theory that something has to be 10 years old before it's allowed to be considered a classic? If it's new, it must be shit.
Yeah, maybe it sort of gradually builds up over time. I don't know. Or is it like a user thing? Does it like sort of mix user reviews as well?
Yeah, I think so.
The riffraff. So
any old shit muncher can say, "Oh, it's 1 out of 10."
This is bollocks. I don't like it's
bollocks.
That
just check in 2014 horror films.
Yeah.
The Babadook, Annabelle, Deliver Us from Evil, As Above, So Below, The Purge, Anarchy.
Yeah.
Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's your best one, obviously.
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. I mean, that's a good one.
It's not on this list, though. It's not on their list. I haven't seen that either. I do want to watch that at some point. Is it good?
Yeah, it's great. Wreck 4. The Guest. Oh, I wouldn't necessarily call that a horror film. This is not a good year, really, for horror. So how they can say it's possibly, maybe, the top one of the top 10 horror films of 2014.
As Above, have you watched As Above, So Below?
I've not.
I actually thought it was quite good for the first, like, two-thirds. Takes place in like the catacombs in Paris, and it's like a found footage thing, and they go around the bone stuff there, and it's a bit like The Descent, but not as good. But I'd definitely recommend it a go anyway.
You'll get on the DVD box with things like a bit like The Descent, not as good.
So we asked Facebook group as normal what they thought of this film. Johan says, "I have a mixed relationship with this film. Whilst there are some aspects I love, such as the idea that it can follow you at any time and anywhere, making you keep an eye out on anything on the screen, I find the film's universe and the inner logic crumbles with some analysis." Johan's done some analysis on this film, and it crumbles. like a Greg's pasty. The mythos isn't concrete and contradicts itself at times. The world itself is an odd hipster universe. I thought the same thing about some of this stuff. The world itself is an odd hipster universe with some near-future gadgets mixed with near retro look. So while it's creepy and the premise is awesome, killer STD, that makes it sound like a good STD. Killer STD, man. It fails too much on some levels for it to work for me. And then Andy Conduit-Turner is right here, right now. Buddy, you did say you were going to be Clarissa in this episode, and you were going to explain it all. So maybe you can sort of explain some of the logic, the crumbling logic to us, Andy.
Well, I listened, I've watched back carefully to some of the explanations, and I think it's one of the early scenes where Matey, who likes a bit of tears and chloroform, we'll get to that later, I'm sure,
yeah,
explains really briefly, while a lady's tied to a chair and quite confused, what it really is. Didn't think of giving it a name. It's fine, maybe didn't want to make that commitment. But yeah. He talks about some of the big rules. He talks about how it's slow but not stupid. He talks about it's got some type of malicious intent, obviously, because it disguises itself as people you know to really get on your wick as much as anything else.
Yeah,
but I took a little bit of a look. I googled for almost 5 minutes to see if I could find, any metaphors or basis for what it truly was.
Yeah.
And you got all this unusual stuff that I think would come up fairly obviously. It's an STI. It's a metaphor for that type of thing. The only thing I found close, which I couldn't find a date on, it could be one of these sort of creepypastas that come along at the time of a popular horror trope as well. But there are some stories set around Japan that talk about, I'm not going to try and pronounce the name, so I'll no doubt butcher it, but they talk about, you know, ghosts that can disguise themselves as loved ones and trick you into letting them into the house, and then they can get you. So potentially there's some inspiration that comes from there as well, but
yeah,
there's nothing definitive that I turned up in my, as I say, pretty extensive minutes of research.
Five-minute research. That's all you need, though. I think I saw somewhere the director was saying, he gets lots of questions about the logic, and he said whatever the scariest option is, it's that's the answer. I don't think he's really. I think he's kind of gone for like the whole it's a dream logic sort of story. So he's kind of sticking with that kind of thing. What did you guys think of the film? Have you seen it before?
I saw it just after it came out. I didn't quite catch it at the cinema. I saw it like at home with a few guys. Scary even on a little TV. Like it got us a few times, a few shitty pants moments.
Yeah.
But I watched it again, prepping for this. Still good. Holds up. I think.
Still shitty
pants. If you look at it, yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I'd made sure I went before I sat down and watched it. But yeah. There's. I get what Johan's saying. There are some bits where there's some odd choices, I guess. You know, with the lady with a seashell Kindle for no reason, and it's sort of, is it the 80s? Is it now? It's kind of strange.
Well, I kind of think like. I remember Darren Aronofsky was talking about in Requiem for a Dream. He has a similar sort of thing where he has weird technology showing up, but it's never like jarring. Whereas like in this film, I feel like those bits are kind of jarring. It's a great horror film, and it's got great like it is a great horror film, no question. But like those sort of bits in it make me feel like I'm listening to the Beatles, and then every now and again it just breaks out into like an art avant-garde jazz piece. It doesn't need that. It's a good thing anyway. It doesn't need those abstract. Sort of.
Do you think it's a deliberate move to maybe stop it from being dated in the future? You know, when everyone's got a seashell Kindle, they've predicted it and said, "Oh, everyone's got this. I think this is a modern film. No need to remake it."
Also, they're reading like Dostoevsky, and I'm like, why? What was the choice other than to make it seem maybe elevate it in sort of?
Only thing on, I'm not sure if anyone else went into this type of detail, but the only thing that ever seems to be on TV are like sort of 30s B movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time, and either that or the you know the
we've main noticed guys that recently. We noticed that recently when we watched The Babadook. It was something very similar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was only like 30 movies.
It's all them, not sure, it's all them like, 2014 horrors, isn't it? It's what they were all doing.
It's all them 2014 horrors. They're all the same. I don't know if it's a rights thing or just something that's, you know what I mean? It adds to the weird uncertainty of the film and that. But yeah, I mean, I saw this fairly quickly after it came out. I didn't see it in the cinema either. But when I first watched it, I wasn't too into it. I was a bit like, you know what I mean? Average.
Yeah.
But it stuck with me. It really like stuck me, and it followed me around.
Yeah,
it stuck with me, and I was thinking about it a lot, and I was thinking, yeah, that was quite unique. All those little weird bits with the strange technology and that weren't too jarring for me. They kind of like added to the weird uncertainty of the whole nature of the film, where I was a bit like, that's a bit strange.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna roll with it. I wasn't like, what the hell? Seashell Kindle? Where can I buy one?
Yeah.
So I've not got a webcam on, but I'm holding a seashell Kindle right now.
Sure. Okay. I thought it was great. I felt like it didn't need those like I'm going to say directorial wanky bits. I don't need to see directors wanking. I just don't need to see it. But I thought it was great, and the soundtrack makes the film for me. The soundtrack and the cinematography, I just think it's absolutely like bob on.
It's that combination, and I think the performances are pretty solid. His performance, especially from the leading lady, is pretty good. She's pretty cool. I think only Michael Monroe. I've seen her in. She's in The Guest as well, isn't she?
Yeah, another, she's a daughter, isn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, another
horror.
Yeah, another synthy score as well, which is cool.
Okay, so should we talk about the film and the plot and all that, and get into the steak bake, as it were.
If we have to.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, the key players, we've got Mike and Monroe as Jay, Jay Height. It's called a Jay. Keir, you say Gilchrist. I'm going to say Gilchrist as Paul Baldwin. The one who's
got to be different, haven't you? You've got to be different.
He's the one who fancies the pants off of Jay. That's the casting call. Lily Seppi and Olivia Lucardi play like the interchangeable girl buddies who make up the troupe. One of them farts. I thought that was an interesting creative choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2014. Girls can fart too now.
Only one of them.
I wonder, like, when he wrote that in the script, he was like, at what point do you write and go, this is a good idea? Like, this is a good move. Girl farting. Like,
and was it real? Was it real in the film, do you reckon? Or do you reckon they've added that?
They've got to get, yeah, they had to get the sound just right for that moment. I don't know. I think maybe, do you think the girl just did it on the set and they were like, I like it.
Improv moments.
Yeah.
And she kept doing it throughout the film. And the first time she did it, it was like, yeah, that's cool. We'll keep that in. Second time, we're like, no. Third time, for God's sake, control yourself.
Light a match. Jesus. Okay. And you got Daniel Zavato as Greg Hannigan, who's like the cool neighbor guy. He's a bit of a trope in himself. I have a nickname for him. It's Hot Rebel Neighbor. That's sort of, that's all you need to know.
This guy.
I know. Yeah. And he drives his own car. It's cool as fuck. And he's got long hair. And denim, like a denim jacket. He's just very, very cool. Okay.
You got feelings for him.
I have got feelings for him. He's a hot rebel neighbour. Who hasn't?
Hope he makes it out okay.
Fingers crossed.
Come on, Greg.
So the film starts with a really nice like panning shot. There's a random girl. She comes out of a house. She's like running away from something. And then her dad's like, are you okay? She's like, I'm fine. And then she runs away again, like gets in the car, drives away. We just get the idea that something's following her. We're not sure what it is. We imagine it's probably it based on the title of the film we're watching. But then it's like a really like this is like the first like moment I realized that there's going to be some great cinematography is when she's just hiding on like a cliff edge. I think it's like a beach even. And then there's like the headlights are facing her, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then it sort of does that like really nice smash cut to her being smashed, like all smashed up on the beach.
Her legs snapped like a twiglet.
So I thought when the thing gets you, that's what it does. It kind of sexes you into a pulp.
Gives your legs a good old snap in.
But yeah, like a Chinese burn on the arms and they're like a leg snap.
But like, it's not very PC, Luke.
But it doesn't stick to this. Like later on, when we see actually doing it in the actual thing. It's not consistent because there is no leg snappage. There's no like limbs.
I think it just does whatever the hell it feels like. And
gives you a good old dry humping, yeah.
yeah.
It's okay. Either a dry humping or it will just try and pull your hair off your head or it'll snap your legs in half. You know, whatever it feels like doing at the time.
Yeah. I think to be fair, with this first girl, the leg snapping might have been to really highlight her poor footwear choice for running away. But look at these heels. Yeah. You see her leg get into the house, get a set of keys so she can get in the car. Yeah. Grab a pair of flats while I'm there. I'm in anyway.
Pair of Chuck Taylors.
Get some running shoes, for God's sake. Get some running shoes. Get a Reeboks out.
Yeah.
Other trainer makes are available.
Yeah. And then, so we understand that there's something following people and it snaps legs. That's like the information, all we need now for the rest of the film. And then we cut to our main sort of character and we sort of introduce the friend group. We have like the shell phone thing. And then I guess it's like the first date or what happens around here. So we get some nice music. I know we get the disaster piece music coming in now, which is had me smiling pretty much instantly.
Is that when she's in the swimming pool? We see.
That's it.
Right. Yeah.
We've got swimming pool, perved on by neighbour, seashell phone, farts. That's it.
So what's the whole idea?
Basically, that is a poem. That's a poem in itself.
Haiku. What's the deal with the peeping Tom? Because he comes into it a few times. And again, I don't really understand what the whole thing is with him. There's a bit when he's like on a roof. Not the naked on the roof, but do you know what I mean? He's like
he like taps the window or something and you see him outside. He sort of disappears though, doesn't he?
Yeah. What's his game?
Is he the fake out? Sorry, Ben, carry on.
We must point out that this is a child. Not just like a adult peeping Tom, you know. It's a child. When a child does a bit of peeping Tom action,
that's just sweet.
It's sweet when an adult does it.
It's cute.
Instantly sinister. Why is it like that? Why is it not the other way around?
Is he like the fake out jump scare? Like in 2014, is the peeping Tom child neighbor? Is he the version of like a cat from an 80s horror movie?
Maybe, yeah. Just a little 10-year-old boy on the fence crawling around. Yeah.
Having a look at her in the swimming pool.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so we've got the fart. We've got the. She's going to go on some date. We know that, like. We know that, like, this guy she's going out, apparently he's a nice guy, all seems well, and they go to a cinema. It's an old school cinema. It's got like a Wurlitzer thing in the middle and a conductor. Again, like, why? I don't really quite understand the logic of it, but it's dreamy and strange. But the guy seems sweet. It's not my thing. I prefer, you know, hot rebel neighbors. But,
Team Greg.
Yeah, Team Greg. But this guy, like, he seems cool enough. And then they're playing a game, like, it's all very, like, downbeat, isn't it? The entire sort of the tone of the conversation. It's all very indie, mumblecore sort of.
When she says, have you ever played this game? And then she explains the game. I'm like, no one's played that game. That's not an interesting game. Have you ever played that game?
I Spy. Successful. Yeah.
Yeah. She should have done that game where, you know, you make someone look down at your hands. Or that one, me and Kat always do that one where I say, what's that over there? I say, who's that person? She looks over and I put my finger there. So she's been standing there. You know, basically, so the game is like, point at a person and then say, the other person has to guess who you're thinking about and why you want to change with their life or something like that. Anyway, when they're in the cinema and he goes, I'd be that girl, or I guess that girl. She's like, what girl? And then he gets her with a finger. No,
but, disgusting. Not on the first date.
Well, I don't know. It's cinema, isn't it? Isn't that what kids do? I don't know. But anyway it's got, the girl's not there. Jay can't
see. He's got a popcorn on his lap.
With a hole cut under. What's this in the bottom? A jelly bean.
Jelly bean. okay. Haribo cherries and a jelly bean. Okay. So they're on the guy freaks out. He's like, "Can we go?"
I've just paid like £10.99 for this ticket. So I ain't going anywhere.
Expensive.
You sit here and die, mate. Yeah.
You sit there and we will watch this rom-com together. And if you die, you die.
So she goes, okay, yeah, whatever. You need shit, whatever. Like, your stomach's off, is it? Your jelly bean's not performing. And then I think we go to the next date fairly quickly, which is like the sexy date. I don't think he actually go anywhere. Did he just go into a car park?
Is that like a car park
date etiquette, isn't it? It's like first date, aborted cinema trip. Second date, car sex.
Straight to the car park. Like, there's hardly any sort of getting to know each other. It's literally,
it's like a,
do you see that girl? No, I've got the shits. Car park.
Car park. Oh, do you fancy a little bit of car sex? Oh, I do, actually. I've been thinking about it all day.
You know I actually do. Okay, so the cinematography, again, is great. There's that whole sort of thing where you just see them in the car, the yellow light, and it's just sort of like, there's so much dark space around the car. And it's already sort of, there's a load of these wide shots that just always have you sort of looking sort of around to sort of see if there's anything there. But anyway,
anything floating into the shot.
The sex is a success. Successful sex they have.
Hey!
Jelly
bean performed.
The jelly bean did the job. And then, so what happens now? So the chloroform.
She's led the sex. Yeah, that's when you have crying and chloroform, the perfect end to any romantic evening. Tears, a bit of chloroform over the face,
cigarette, chloroform. Sure,
takes a long time to like knock her out. Well, a lot of time in Hollywood films, you see someone with a chloroform cloth, yeah, and they get knocked out after a few seconds. But there's a real struggle with it, which makes it feel kind of real, I guess.
He's buying off-brand chloroform.
Really. He is, isn't he? He's just buying Tesco's own brand chloroform.
Yeah. Mouthwash. By the way, chloroform is apparently like super hard to get, like nearly impossible to get a hold of nowadays. I don't know how true that is.
You ask around, they'll put you on some sort of list. I don't know what their problem is.
But like, I don't think there is a thing that you can put on. Then again, I guess it's like a dream logic thing to the story, but I think it's very difficult to get a thing you can put on a cloth that would put someone out like that. And also, if someone's out for that long, they might die. There's a good chance they might just never wake up. Like, they might get brain damage or something.
It's very specific, isn't it? So I will knock you out for 10 to 12 minutes. They've got it on the back of the bottle. Three drops this long.
Yeah. I've done the recommended dosage of chloroform. It should be 2 minutes now. Yeah. So she wakes up. She's tied up in a chair. She's thinking, oh, again, we just did the sex. And what happens now? So he says, you've got...
This is right. He Clarissa's it right now. Says, right, I'm going to explain it all. Sit up and listen. Don't stress about being tied to a chair. It's nothing creepy. I'm definitely not going to hurt you. But I need to show you this really horrible thing that I've done. But, you know, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
So then that's when he explains all the rules about how it's really slow, but it's not stupid. And it's going to try and... This thing is going to try and get you. And it's also where we learn that if you've had it following you already... You can still see it because he can see it coming, right?
Yeah, yeah. He wheels her chair to the end. He says it's here. He wheels her wheelchair to the end of the little hill thing, and then he points at a naked woman, and she's supposed to believe that, like,
yeah,
not just some obviously
it's
naked
not
woman.
It's not just some random naked woman. It's a it's a supernatural entity pursuing me to eventually dry up me to death.
Yeah.
She takes it on board pretty quickly, as do her friends throughout the rest of the movie. To be honest, everyone accepts this knowledge pretty quickly with very little proof. But like, oh, all right, seems legit.
Yeah, yeah. I would probably. Would you believe someone if someone said to you, "There's a thing following me. It wants to have sex with me and kill me." What would you say?
Yeah.
So yeah, better safe than sorry, innit? I better avoid. People walking slowly towards me forevermore.
Yeah.
Even if it's someone I know and love.
Yeah. Get away.
That's speed up for the love of God.
That's what I was going to ask. Does it take the form of people it's already had, like killed? There's one bit when I thought I saw it take the form of the girl at the start of the film.
No. I didn't see her in my list. I remember Big Mr. No Eyes. I remember the sort of pissing lady. Yeah. And I think it turns. This is from the Wikipedia. I didn't pick this up when I watched it. I think it turns into Greg before it gets Greg.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Does it?
Walking down the street and then just smashes the window.
Well, is that's taking the form of Hot Rebel Neighbor.
Hot Rebel Neighbor.
That Luke I thought if anyone, you'd have picked that up.
I didn't realize that was him.
She sees him out the window and when he's walking down the street and then he smashes the window, doesn't he, to get in?
Oh, right,
to his own house.
He's like wearing like a onesie.
Don't recognize him without that denim jacket.
he'll wear whatever you want him to, Luke.
Went off him as soon as I saw him in that onesie.
Okay. Don't look good on him.
Yeah. Okay, so the guy drops Jay off. So basically, he gets back in the car, he drops Jay off, and says, have sex with someone else and, you know, pass the curse on. She flops to the floor. They call the police. Turns out this guy, whatever his name was, he's been using a false identity. I don't think the police know what's going on.
His name was Hugh. Why would you choose Hugh as your false identity?
And his real name turns out to be Jeff, so...
Yeah. Jeff, bro.
Hugh's not a bad name. What's wrong with Hugh? Hugh Grant, you know?
You wanted a bit of class, a bit of gravitas there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
All right, sorry. Maybe I jumped the gun, slagging off the name Hugh.
Yeah.
Hugh's fine. If any Hughes are listening, well done.
Yeah.
Jeff's on the other hand.
Other hand. You can sling your hook.
The second name he gave was Jellybean. Hugh's Jellybean. Okay. Okay. So yeah. So what happens next? So okay. So what would you do? So you've got this thing following you. Of course, you don't believe it really at first, but so she first sees it in the school. There's like an old lady.
Yeah, straight to school the next day. So you don't have a day off. You've had quite a traumatic thing. The police have had a chat with you and said, "Oh, it's probably best to leave it then." I guess you haven't immediately solved this one.
Yeah.
So make sure you go back to school tomorrow.
Don't miss a single day. You're in an important year. Exams are coming up. Get in.
GCSEs are on the way. SATs. Do we still do sats? I don't know if they still do sats. Maybe not in America at all. Okay, anyway, so and then it's like a old lady, she's in like a hospital gown or something, she's coming after her. And
so this is pretty scary. So yeah, she sees an old lady from like outside the school across the road, slowly walking towards her. I mean, she's probably the scariest of the entity, I think, because she's got like, she's quite old, she looks like she's been in the war. She doesn't just walk out of a hospital ward. She got quite sunken, like dark eyes, and she looks a little bit terrifying. I mean, I'm sure she's a lovely lady in real life. But...
yeah. I don't know. The people they've sort of chose, like, it's the creepiest looking people. Like, imagine them all stood together.
The Jesus casting pool, when they're getting them in, wanted creepy looking people, all shapes and sizes.
Are you creepy as balls? Then come along to this.
The one particular, or can you piss for an extended period of time?
I'm pissing right now.
That was only 2 minutes of piss. That's not enough. Sorry.
Yeah. You're exactly what I'm looking for. Just going to like someone who's like an incontinent ward at the hospital. You've got talent.
Silver lining, guys.
Are there incontinent wards? Free up the beds.
Yeah.
Get them out of the streets.
They have to get special wards for them because they're like a wet room.
Drains in all the floors.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that guy, like, you know, when you go to a gym or a pool and there's that guy who's got the mop, he's constantly walking through, sweeping, mopping up after people. You have one of those guys as well.
Just massive arms because he's mopping all day long.
Exactly. Okay, so at this point, me and Kat were like, we were watching it. I said, what would you do? And I kind of felt like this would be an easy one to outsmart because you could, I'd go to like a running track and I'd wait at the 500 meter line start. And I time it. I go to the other bit and I time it, how long it takes. And then I'd work out from there, you know, how far you have to go away for it to catch up with you and just sort of stay ahead of it.
So this is your research phase. You're in this for the long game. You ain't passing it on. This is right.
You're not passing it on.
How am I going to live my life with this? Because you haven't met Greg yet in your scenario, I imagine. So
not yet. He comes in the second act in my film.
Yeah, so this is where you want to do your preparation. This is your Home Alone setting your traps.
So the way to beat this entity is not to pass it on to someone else. It's to beat it with maths, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean,
I'm real good at maths.
There's that. There's also, like, you could build... I've seen, like, a YouTube guy. He built, like, this, like, vault thing under the ground. Like, you walk really far away, like, you drive to Scotland or wherever, and then you go back, drive back, and then you sort of build a vault or whatever, and then you get in there, wait for it to come in, go up, put concrete in. I'm sure you could easily beat this thing, right?
This is definitely the plot for the sequel, Luke.
I need to add this to my list of potential solutions that I was going to crack out later.
Okay, cool.
This is a great solution. Well, because Jay obviously finds it pretty easy to pass it on because, you know, anyone have a go on it. But if you're...
Jesus.
If you're Paul,
yeah. If you're Paul, you're pretty much screwed. I know he gets involved with the old working ladies, but if
does
you
he,
couldn't,
does
and you really,
yeah. Okay,
I think he does at the end, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he goes around flashing the cash, doesn't he?
Yeah. Okay.
All his coffee shop money.
So we'll talk more solutions later, but I think I've pretty much solved it. Also, if it has to have, I'm not too sure what it actually does to you, if it actually has sex with you to sort of kill you, but you could have it cut off. Like, would that work? Or is it not having to have sex with you? I don't really understand the logic here.
I don't think it has to have sex with you. I think it just attacks and kills you in any way. Imagine you were followed by it and you just cut your knob off. What an overreaction.
It's the first evasive maneuver and it follows School of Survival. Off.
It explains that ain't gonna work, Soz. You've wasted your effort.
Can you see that guy? Can you see that guy? No, off.
And it's still walking towards you, and you go, shit.
Well, no,
what have I done?
You cut it off, and the other guy's like, oh, him. No, yeah.
Or I didn't see him. He's behind a pillar.
Obscured.
Behind a pillar from this angle.
Yeah. Okay. So I think at some point now, so she's like freaked out. She's seen the thing following her. She's convinced. Paul, who's like kind of fancies her, agreed to stay at the house. This is one of the more terrifying bits of the film, I think, is when she's staying at the house. Paul's sleeping in, not Paul himself, that's the scary bit. He's sort of sleeping over on the sofa as the window smashes. Paul says there's no one here, but we all know someone is here. She goes into to find out what it is, and then it goes all slow motion, and then there's the urinating woman that comes in, and it's yeah. I just found I found it really, really scary.
She got like a fat lip as well, hasn't she?
She got like missing teeth and stuff as well.
Yeah. She's having a bad day, basically. And Paul, bless him, he's gone, right, I've heard the window break. I won't go to the room where I heard the window break. I'm just going to bugger off somewhere else to make sure the rest of the house is
what
all right.
What happened? Yeah, I'd need a wee.
Funny enough, he was going up to tell her sister something, I don't know. This is where we see, like, the entity obviously doesn't walk constantly. It stops sometimes because it was stopped in that room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then it walked forward. So clearly it stops for dramatic effect sometimes. It doesn't just walk constantly. It's not like a computer game NPC or something. If there's a wall there, it just carries on walking. Oh, shit. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Oh, imagine an NPC following you all the time.
A fly trapped in a room. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then she goes upstairs and she sort of locks herself in the bedroom. And then I think this is the most terrifying version of the thing. Is where, like, it's the mother, I think it's like the sister or friend, sort of opens the door, and then a guy just pops his head under. I find that absolutely terrifying.
That's when big Mr. No Eyes rocks up, doesn't he? Yeah. Through the door, just as they're letting their mate in after she's been banging on it.
I think it's that casual movement that he just sort of like, it's just so like.
It's Peter Crouch, just 6 foot seven. Peter Crouch just goes, hey, here we are, doing the robot.
He looks like he belongs. It's like he's walking in there, no one knows he's there. Like, hi, guys. Like, he's just like, there's no hesitation at all. He knows he belongs in that room. He's walking in. Anyway, how did she get out of this bit? Did she climb out the window or something?
Did she do it out the window? Yeah.
Yeah. Straight out the window and onto someone's bike.
Yeah, Rob's some kid's bike. And this is your first glimpse of Greg, right? He's having a chat with some girl in the car, raises an eyebrow and thinks, right, this is something I want in on. I better catch up with this lot.
She's riding a child's bike. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's my bag.
So... She goes and hides on a swing for a little bit. And then I think this is where Greg says, I'm going to get my car and we're going to go some beach house or something. I don't know.
Again, Greg immediately on board, right? So as soon as there's a ghost, it's following me. He goes, all right, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. I don't go to school. I skive. I play, what do they call it in America? I play hooky.
Yeah, plays hooky.
I always thought that meant something very different. When they said I play hooky. Yeah. It means like wagging. Wagging school. But if we have any American listeners, what do you say? We always called it wagging.
Bunking off.
Bunking off. That sounds very posh.
That's bunking off.
Playing truant.
Playing truant.
What do you call it?
Wagging, yeah.
What does that mean? What does wagging mean?
It's wagging school.
Is that what you... both of you say... Did both of you say wagging? I'm in a minority here.
It must be a Midlands thing. Yeah, we say wagging. Are you wagging school today?
I'd be like, I'm going.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you can, very casual conversation. Are you wagging today? So, the more ludicrous it is.
So I've got to get in. So
we're bunking arf. We're bunking arf.
Well, I think skiving. Skiving, I think people said sometimes.
Yeah, skiving.
You say skiving?
I'd go skiving if you were telling your mom and dad you were sick. Wagging if you weren't. You're just gonna not go.
Yeah.
Drive-in is more like when you're at work, but you're like doing fuck all.
Well, I think it comes from the same train of thought, Skyvin. Oh. But like, if you want to differentiate it properly, wagon.
I'm not bored with this.
Well, we launched this to our sister podcast here, where we have wingback chairs and really dissect the English language.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Well, it's better than playing hooky. Playing hooky does sound like... I was sort of like you were like taking drugs and having sex. Like, I'm playing hooky. Or like a strange sort of version of pool.
with a bent view. Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Playing hooky.
Playing hooky, yeah, that's what the Americans say.
That's what Greg's into.
Having sex and taking drugs. You hoped it was that when Greg said it, didn't you, Luke?
Greg plays hooky all the time, you can tell. He looks like a hooker. I don't know what you call him.
He's at one with the hooky. You don't even care anymore playing hooky.
Okay. So anyway, so they drive to the beach house to chill out for what appears to be a day or so. I don't know where they got the food and beer and stuff from. Who knows?
Don't they try and trace Hugh or AKA Jeff at this point before?
Is that not after or is that before?
I think they find him a little bit. Oh, no, because the beach house... Yeah, it's before. They look for Hugh first.
Right, okay.
And they go and find his Home Alone house with all his tinnies there to surprise... So he gets a warning if the ghosts come in.
And his dirty tissues.
He's got escape hatches. Yeah. And Paul finds his, like, porno stash. The second time Paul has an interaction with porn in this movie, he tells a story about it during the sleepover as well.
Yeah.
It's like his most cherished memories are with a pornographic magazine in his hand.
Yeah.
Remember that great day when I had a porn mag in one hand?
Yeah. I had 12 porn mag. He goes on about how many he had. 12. Just imagine it.
12. Remember you used to find a porno mag in the woods? Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
And this is where they find inside, like a bit of a reverse thing. It's not like having your school book with like a comic inside. He's got a porno. With a classic photo inside of himself and his girlfriend.
Yeah. What is that? Is that like for a bookmark or something?
That would
like,
put you...
Yeah, a bookmark for your porn because it's a long read.
That would put you off, wouldn't it? You'd be turning the pages
page a day.
You'd be turning the pages and you go, oh no! I've committed now, so I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me. That's me at school in that picture there.
Too late.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's the last image you saw in the, before he played hooky. Okay.
Spent a long time wondering if that's changed him on a psychological level. Do I fancy myself now?
Yeah. So they catch up with him in school. I think his real name is... Oh, it is Jeff.
It is Jeff, yeah.
I thought you were just talking bullshit, which is what we tend to do. Okay. So they find him. His name's Jeff. He's... pretty weird kid. They sort of sit in the grass. He even does that thing again where he says, you see that girl? And then they say, yeah. And he goes, nice headphones or something.
Yeah, he's got the knife out ready to chop his knob off. He's like, oh no, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Luckily, I only took the tip off that time.
Yeah. The edge of the jelly bean, the crust. Okay. And then, so what happened then? So they just say, all right, cheers. See you later, Jeff.
Right, no hard feelings, then I guess now you've explained a little bit more. That's all I wanted, just a little bit more information. I'll leave you to your life.
And then he kind of says, you can pass it on. You're a girl. You can have sex with anyone. He does say that, doesn't he?
Yeah, and they say, fair dudes, good point, Jeff. We'll go to the beach.
So this is where they go to the beach. They also get a gun here and they practice the shooting. And then I think it all seems pretty chill for a while. And then there's quite a cool scene where Jay's on a beach lounger on the deck chair, and then it just grabs at her hair and it starts to yank it or something. And
you see it approaching in the background for quite a while, don't you?
That is the most. That is like the most novel thing about this film is that I don't think I've seen that done in that way very often. That sort of just approach, because there's been a few times. I think there's one bit in the school when they left Jeff. They were looking outside the car window, and I'm sure there's just someone in the very
Just that's walking. A really good bit. I really like that bit.
Yeah, when me too.
Nothing comes of it, but you think, oh, I wonder if that's it, and it's just long enough for you as a viewer to notice.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end up as a scare in the movie. Yeah, it's really good. That's one of my favourite bits.
Yeah, it's like weird sense of distrust of pedestrians. Just like anyone who's walking, you suddenly sort of don't really trust them. So they go to this next bit where they're in the beach house. She gets attacked, and I think she gets away. What's her name? Not Greg. What's the other guy's name? Paul.
Paul.
Gets slapped along, you know, to the side.
She gives him a bit with a chair, doesn't she? She, like, wallops him.
Wallops him with a chair.
Steel folding chair across the back.
Yeah. And then she sort of hides inside the, I don't know, shed or whatever it is. And it boots the door in or something.
And Greg is furious. For a rebel, he is concerned about his parents' property. Like, that's my dad's beach house, and you've bust the door.
His parents'
shed. My dad's favourite door!
Yeah. Does she shoot it yet? Or
she shoots it in the head, and it's like you've kicked someone in the shin. It gets straight back up. Yeah. And that's when it breaks the door and transforms from the hair-pulling woman into, like, a shouty little boy. Because they can get through doors a little bit easier, can't they?
Small. Yeah. That's why they were so good, you know, back in the industrial age. Because they could get into small gaps.
More hands.
Yeah. Okay. And then she runs away again. Jay sort of grabs, she steals Greg's car, drives away, crashes. And then she wakes up in the hospital, I think. And then what happens next? So she has sex.
Greg, she does. Greg comes in and goes, "Oh, you're in hospital, are you? I know what to do. Belt undone.
Yeah.
Have sex with it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he's genuinely doing it here to help her, or is he just being an opportunistic little scumbag?
I tell you what he is doing. He's making Paul real sad. You see Paul's face in that morning because he knows it's gone on. Paul and Paul, maybe he was watching the whole event unfold, but in the morning he's not looking happy.
Yeah. He was watching it from the incontinent ward next door, holding his nose, just looking through the window. an angry sort of look to his face.
Yeah, that's why he's got that face in the morning. He's got like a squint in his eye. He's like, oh.
Yeah. Are you trying to dye your hair, Paul? Smell ammonia for some reason. Okay. Okay.
Just wants to be like Greg, wants to, you know, get the same haircut.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens? I'm getting a bit lost in the plot now.
So after that bit, so they've done the deed. Greg goes straight from, "Yeah, I believe in this ghost, and I did see it bust my parents' house up," to, "Nah, I don't think it's real. Just go back to your normal life.
Yeah.
I've had sex with you now, so you can stop worrying about that. And I ain't going to worry. I'm going to go back to playing hooky and driving about in my car."
And then this is the bit where I didn't notice this, but when Jay's looking out the window in the nighttime, and it's Greg
breaking into his own house.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Breaking into his own house, and she goes, "That's weird.
Yeah.
Probably got a key."
Yeah, it's Greg doing it. He's a rebel. I'd be like, classic Greg. Breaks into his house.
Just goes back to bed.
I have got a house key in my pocket, but you know what? I'm going to break in anyway. You know why? Classic Greg.
Yeah, he's like one of the characters from The Young Ones, just sort of smashing that shit. Like, I'm going to say Eddie, but it's not Eddie. Where is
Vivian?
Vivian, yeah, yeah. Okay, so she goes over to the house, climbs up a broken window, finds it now knocking on the door. The door opens, and
Greg's naked mum then, right? So
is it his mum?
Yeah, because again, between Wikipedia and then when he opens the door and says, "Geez, mom, stop knocking on my door naked," which is not a piece of it.
Yeah,
she's got a singular breast out, hasn't she, at this point?
It's like a Game of Thrones outfit, I think. I should say.
I was like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, mum!"
Yeah. So that's pretty. I didn't realize it was his mum. So that does take that to another level of horror for me. She like dry humps her son to death. And like he goes all pale. Is he pulling that face because it's his mum then? Like,
it's a kind of a weird mixture because it is a dry hump. You definitely see when Jay's looking on in horror and all the lights are going all flickery.
Yeah, all the lights are going all flickery. So it's
she's giving him a dry humping, but it's also quite gooey. There's a lot of goo around on the scene.
The famous gooey dry hump.
Yeah, it's a little known variant of the dry hump.
Yeah.
But it makes you pull a face like that.
So he goes all pale and then he sort of shrivels, looks like he shrivels up a bit, I guess. Doesn't get the leg snapping treatment. or the Chinese burn, although he probably does get some a burn of some kind. And then
depends what his pants are made of, I guess.
Well, they look fairly lubricated. Yeah. So, and then I think at this point, now we have like the classic sort of they're gonna gang up and they're gonna get this thing, right? And
yeah, this is Paul's plan, right? We have a little conversation where Paul goes, "Do you trust me? Because in a minute I'm going to explain a batshit plan that will make no sense. But you've got to trust me, like." So we're going to go over here to the swimming pool where I think it's explained that it's where they had their first kiss or something along those lines. It's got sort of relevance.
Yeah, yeah. And also, this is where, like, in terms of the music, this is where the actual theme sort of kicks in, and it's epic. I was listening to this theme, like this soundtrack, all week now. But it's that one theme that bow, manala, bow, bow, is so good. And it just sort of takes them. That's a very 80s thing to do, right? I'm sure there's loads of 80s horror films that had that. The crescendo, the final actual theme, seems to be at the point where the characters decide to take a stand.
Yeah, sort of like, right, now's the time. Enough is enough. Draw a line in the sand. Get the swimming pool. Bring all the electricals we can fit in the car. And let's bloody do it.
Yeah,
it's weird that they're planning to take it out, because at this point, just before this scene, Jay sort of spends the night outdoors, doesn't she, on a beach, and she sees like three dudes on a boat, and then it looks like, obviously we don't see much. It looks like she goes and shags one, maybe some of them.
Do you reckon this is what she does to buy herself a little bit of time? Then again, I'm thinking, even in the heady days of youth, I'm not sure if I'm on a boat having a lovely trip with the guys. If a woman swims out to us, clearly quite upset with a cast on, and says, "All right, lads, you do.
I was thinking that.
I might think twice. There's something going on here. You're trying to pass on a ghost to me, aren't you?"
No, depends if you've been depends if you've been going for a dry spell or not, I guess.
Yeah, you'd at least look it up. You'd get out your you'd get out your seashell Kindle and have a quick Google of.
Why have you got the cast on your arm? Oh, just I had a crash in the car. That's fine then.
Yeah. I wasn't running from a ghost. Oh, fair enough.
We've all been there.
I'm in. Let's do this. Yeah.
But then as they're going off to the, I think we get a visual that shows that that's over as well, because as they're going off to the swimming pool to execute Paul's crazy plan, we see like a naked like Hercules on the roof of the house going, "Oi."
That's just another thing. Why was he on the roof? Like, I understand it looked cool and it was quite effective to like for them to drive off and it's just a guy on a roof. But in terms of the logic of the creature, like, I'm sure, why would it climb on the roof? Like, it just smashed the window or take the door.
Maybe he was going Three Little Pigs. It was a brick house, so he was thinking, right, down the chimney. I can't huff and puff this one.
Maybe it was the chimney. Maybe there was something there, yeah.
He was going to come down the chimney.
Maybe it remembered. And remember, the last time it tried to get in the house, it didn't get her. So he's not going to be using a window or a door like it did last time. He's going to use the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Plan C.
Smash straight through it.
Yeah. But, okay, so when it smashed the window in Greg's, can other people see that? Because
Paul could see it pulling a hair and it could lift. Yeah. We see it lift stuff up. So I guess other people that haven't got it can't see it, but they can see stuff that it's moving because other people see it like lifting toasters in a bit as well, don't they? And it's wazzing them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. So the plan, they get there to the swimming pool and Jay, the plan is Jay's going to get in the pool. I imagine this is the plan. They've got all these electronic gadgets, toasters and other stuff from the 50s. And she's going to get out when he gets in the pool and they're going to put the thing in. It's going to electrocute it. Yeah,
they're going to give it some of that stuff.
But as soon as it gets in there, it just starts... just like lobbing these toasters and stuff at her head.
It's got a good aim as well. Maybe when you're a ghost, you've got time to practice this stuff. But
it's got perfect aim. Headshots over and over again.
I couldn't throw a toaster at someone. And I know Jay's obviously tired. She's getting really narky before she gets out. Before the ghost turns up, she's getting wrinkly. She's like, "Oh, guys, I want to get out.
My lips are blue."
Yeah. Okay, and then so what happens is, so she... Well, how does it get in? Did he?
It's wazzing toasters
in the head, right?
And then the fart friend throws like a blanket over its head so they can see it. And that's when Paul, who is crap at shooting,
executes it.
He's already shot the girl once by accident in the leg, right?
Yeah.
He's already shot someone else, and then he
yeah.
And then he he shoots Fartfriend, actually. It's the sister that blankets the ghost. And then he gives it one in the head and it falls in the pool.
It takes the appearance of Jay's dad at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it only hints at that, I think. Well, yeah, so it only hints because we see a photo at some point of that form as a dad character or something earlier on.
You kind of understand that he's not around or possibly dead.
This is what I was thinking. Has he been killed by it? Like, that's what I thought.
That'd be unfortunate, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like, that's what I thought. Like, does it take on the forms of people that it's killed already? But obviously not. I think he just...
Horrible sex timeline that links back to your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
We're linked in one way, Daddy.
So here's where it ends. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this ending. So she gets out of the pool. It grabs a leg and then they shoot it again in the head and this time it dies. I don't know what the difference is, but they shoot it in the head in the water and it sort of...
And then the pool fills with blood, right? And while Jay can see the pool filled with blood, but then it's sort of left ambiguous because she never really says, oh yes, dead, I can see. He's got little crosses on his eyes. He's done.
Yeah. And then they have some celebratory sex. Jay's like, okay, Paul, you deserve it. Let's
you've earned this, Paul.
This is your reward.
Fill your boots.
And again, alternative way of thinking of it, is that his reward or is it his punishment for like a real shit plan that didn't make any sense?
Yeah, maybe. Right, we're gonna pass it on.
And you shot someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now you're gonna have this and I'm gonna have a bloody day off.
Yeah. But then so Paul then goes to see some prostitutes. We don't see anything happen, but I think we get the idea that
but he's changing hands.
He's a pervert, I think, pretty much. And then they're walking hands down the street, Jay and Paul, and then we see something following behind them, and then it cuts to black, and that's the end. And it's what do you think about the ending?
I mean, those innocent prostitutes have been killed, clearly.
Yeah. Unless he might have sex with them and tell them, and they might believe him. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I thought it was quite cool. I mean... I don't really understand why the shooting in the head in the pool would be the thing that does it, but...
Yeah, I don't get his plan, especially, like, they must not think it's worked either, otherwise why would he go off? Having now ended up going out with the girl he's loved since they were kids, thinks, right, I've done this, better go and shag some prostitutes afterwards.
Maybe it's unrelated to the entity. It's just showing him and what he does on an average weekend.
Well, yeah, I think after having sex with Jay, it's awakened his sexual appetite, and he's I need more, and he goes out to the goes out to see the prosies on the corner.
And let's face it, after quite a harrowing couple of days, Jay's probably not really up for that much sex at the minute. Probably wants a bit of time off.
Yeah, she might. If I was her, I would never have sex again. I don't think, just in case.
Yeah, can you imagine that if you actually got rid of it and then the next person you meet, as soon as it's over, they're chloroformed. Yeah, I've heard it before.
I'd say lifestyle choices are the problem there. She needs to change her lifestyle there. Okay, so jump scares, shit your pants moments, and directing style in general. What do you guys reckon?
Yeah, directing style is pretty good. I think I like the vibe.
You like your 80s tonal stuff, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And pairing out with the soundtrack, I think it was pretty great. Shit your pants moments, not so much shit your pants moments, just like creepy, unnerving, under your skin moments. Gigantor slipping under the door like that was pretty weird. Anytime the entity appeared in any weird form was pretty scary. Yeah. I just like the way it slowly walked into certain shots and you kind of like, you know what I mean, it just, you kind of like saw it from a distance. You saw it getting closer and closer in any scenario. That was it. That worked really well, I think.
Yeah. I think the camera, like the cinematography, that sort of those constant wide shots and constantly things just in view sort of added to that. What do you reckon, Andy?
Yeah, similar. The long shots really worked for me. I like it when it doesn't always have to come to something and end up being a scare. I like it that you as an audience can see it and the characters are completely unaware of it. It doesn't always have to have a payoff, which a lot of films, they always do.
It's good that characters can kind of like run away from certain scenarios as well, because how many films do you watch, especially modern horror films, where you're like, just run away, get the hell out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that happens like numerous times.
Yeah.
So it's quite satisfying and it feels... like almost like a realistic way for people to deal with these things if they were real.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. And I think scary moments, yeah, it's visual things like, you know, old big Mr. No Eyes when he comes through the door saying yeah. that's quite scary because it comes
yeah.
in a period where you've just had a couple of scares and it's almost relentless at that point.
Also, I would say the music, if you listen to it afterwards, you just realise how effective that some of the music is at just making you feel like dread. It's like a yeah. constant, like, I don't know, it's like a churning sort of sound. Just listen to the music and that'll terrify you.
Like, yeah, and then the sort of volume in the music as well, kind of
yeah,
like
yeah,
it goes from being quite sort of calm to suddenly bang, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite unnerving to listen to, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready for some trivia?
Go for
yes.
it.
Yes.
Okay. So number one, the film's concept is based on a recurring nightmare the director used to have, where he would be stalked by a predator that continually walked slowly towards him. True or false? Andy, do you want to go first?
On the spot, I'm going to go true.
Okay. Ben? Benjamin?
Yeah, I think that sounds true.
Apparently, he said it, but whether or not he's lying, we will never know. So I'm not going to give you a point. No. Okay, yeah, you got a point.
We'll
that.
Never know.
We'll never know. Minus 1 point to you. Wow. Yeah. Great.
Okay, number two. The theatre where they go to watch the film with the Wurlitzer and everything is the actual theatre where the original Evil Dead premiered. True or false?
That sounds like it could be true.
I'm going to also go true, assuming it hasn't been redecorated since, right?
Yeah, true, apparently. Again, it's from the internet, so we never really know.
Much like every question ever. Like, no, you'll never truly really know.
This trivia has taken a horrible turn this week.
Okay.
I want some serious, I want some true or false. I don't know if it's true or false. I can't okay. go
with it's ambiguous.
You want like a solid question with a solid answer, right? Number three, who would win in a fight? It, the thing, them, or Pennywise the Dancing Clown, aka it? I don't have a correct answer.
The thing would. Thing would win.
Well, I don't know, because the thing's like a physical thing. You know what I mean?
Pennywise is a big spider thing, right? Is he having sex with people that he shouldn't?
The thing is a big spider thing as well at the end, isn't it? They're all big spider things.
Them, I had to Google it.
Oh, them.
Them are big giant ant things, like mutant ants.
Oh, spiders take out the ants, sir.
But there's a lot of them, maybe.
They it follows things if you're trying to dry hump giant spiders.
I do think the thing has a good, because, like, you just sort of how do you kill the thing? Oh, you get fire on it, right? So
put a bit of fire on it.
Yeah, but I've got to say,
you get Kurt Russell in.
Pennywise is like an eater of worlds, like, apparently. So, like, he's a sort of demon god thing.
It says it himself. The two things he loves: eating worlds / children. But if you eat worlds, surely you get a bit of children sprinkled on there. You should just focus on that.
Like hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
Millions, you could say, of them.
And if you've had a world, if you eat in a world and then you move on to children, surely it won't be satisfying.
No.
You have to eat so many children to equal one world.
How many children? Oh, really?
Dear Siri, how many children?
Wolfram Alpha. Yeah. Okay. So I guess I'm going to say you got like. Wait, so who are you going with, Ben?
I'm going to go with The Thing from The Thing.
Okay. Andy?
I'm going to go with Pennywise, the it, from that sense. Of course, we'll never know.
I want to see a new fighting game with just horror film.
Yeah, they should do.
The people who do Mortal Kombat should make one, because they do every Mortal Kombat in the last few. There's always been like Alien, Predator, Freddy, Jason. They've all been in it.
Yeah,
they should just give them a license and say, do one.
But Pennywise, okay.
Approved.
Yeah. Okay, question number four. By the way, I'm going to give you a correct answer on that last one, because why not? The entire score by Rich Vreeland, aka Disaster Piece, was completed in less than 14 days. True or false?
Oh. False.
Yeah, I'm going to go false, because we've had a couple of trues. I'm just playing the statistics here.
Yeah.
You're both right. It was actually 3 weeks, so still like an amazing achievement. Disaster Piece does the music to our other podcast, The Story Studio. I've emailed him a couple of times and he seems like a nice guy. Okay.
Yeah.
The last question. Sorry, Ben, it's not a solid question. It's an ambiguous one. What is its true face? As in, it from It Follows.
It from It Follows. Its true face is. Jimmy Savile. I don't know.
Jimmy Savile. Interesting. Interesting. Andy?
You could go metaphorical and say it's the insecurity within us all, but I'm going to go with Rolf myself.
Your first answer was much better. I feel like I've nudged you towards a certain answer.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got to be consistent with the tone. That's fine.
It's actually the famously sexually frustrated actor and Wonder Man, Andy Serkis of Imagineering Studios. Oh, yes. Who will
he played all those.
Yeah, he played all of the characters there. He
not
actually...
just not just the It characters, he played all of the characters, everyone in it. Yeah. None of these people exist.
He played the Kindle, he played the
the clamshell. You should see the behind the scenes of him doing the clamshell with his like with his mouth.
Just written lots of Dostoevsky all over his face. Yeah.
He was a toaster jumping into a swimming pool at one point. I'll try again. I was a bit heavy with that one, but a bit lighter.
Yeah. He got himself a UTI so he could piss consistently all that time.
Yeah, he's just been cast as he's going to be putting his monkey talents into portraying Abu in the upcoming Aladdin film. He isn't, but I really hope he does for some reason.
I believe in that then.
There's got to be some other actors that are probably pissed off. I do a really good monkey and Serkis gets every job every I go for.
He's got like a proven track record there, you know, playing Caesar. Amazingly so. I think he should put those...
And right. King Kong. He was King Kong as well, wasn't he?
Was he?
He's all the apes. You name a CGI ape, it's him.
So when they cast Abu, he's got to be Abu. Seriously. I think you bring an integrity to the role that Abu never really had in the original Disney animation.
Some real gravitas.
Some real gravitas.
A really tiny little hat on his head.
Yeah. Okay, so you got them all right. Why not?
Nailed it. 100%.
But I mean, like I said, we never really know these things.
I can't work under these conditions, Luke. This is too... ambiguous.
On the next show, I'll give you some solid answers. They'll be like maths problems.
One and one is two.
They'll be a little bit more complicated. There'll be some fractions, some stuff that you'll need a calculator for. Bring your scientific calculator for next.
If the creature from It Follows followed at 3 miles per hour and you were in Aberdeen, how long would it take until it raped you?
Maybe we should post a quiz on the Facebook group with several questions like that.
Yeah.
First correct 10 out of 10 answers wins a prize.
Yeah. If how long from John O'Groats to penetration does it take?
Penetration. I visited penetration. It's lovely there. This time of year.
It's the big tall no eyes man hat, I mean obviously he's got a bigger stride. You have to consider these variables in the calculations.
Don't want to get penetrated by him. Jesus.
Yeah. No, not by Jesus. Okay, so we need to grade the film. Andy, do you want to go first? Because you are a guest today.
I'm gonna go I enjoyed it. It's solid, but I don't know, I'm more of an old school when it comes to my slashes. I love the classics from the 80s. I'm going to IMDb it and maybe mark it a bit down because it's not old enough. But I'm still going to give it good. I'm gonna give it a B.
Okay, solid B.
Solid B.
Ben?
B's pretty high.
B for Ben?
B for Ben. I'll probably go a little bit higher, I think, because it just really does it for me, this film. It really does it for me. I think it's pretty creepy. I think everything that comes with it works well, soundtrack, cinematography, directorial style. Possibly could be like a cult classic, I reckon, in a number of years. I'd give it a B+.
Okay, I'm going to go B+ as well for the same reasons. I think it's a really good film. And it is one of those things that I think is such a novel idea or the way it's done. It just sort of stands out a lot. Especially even from the films that we've seen on this list, it really does stand out. But I can't give it an A because... some of those like weird logic things I felt just weren't thought out enough.
I expect I'll come back in a few years and be like, I was too harsh.
Luke, what would you give this film if Greg wasn't in it?
It would go down our books. I mean, it already has now that I realised I saw him in a onesie. Just not cool enough for me. He's now gone from like hot rebel neighbour to
Average. Wearing to name it.
To that next to that guy.
Mum shagging loser.
That's you, Greg, talking about you. So to finalize it, like we've got a little bit of insight to your escape plan, Luke, but how would we all escape from It Follows?
Yeah. Chop it off.
I think, like, obviously, traveling to another country, you do imagine, would it walk through the sea?
Well, so
or could it walk and wait and get on a plane?
The director said it would get on a plane, so he answered that question. But would it? I don't think it would. I mean, where would it?
Go somewhere we have to charter a plane, so not many go there. Do some sex tourism on a really remote island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, does it just get you when you're asleep?
I suppose it could still get you if you were having a kip, yeah.
It would, yeah.
I think...
How could you ever sleep if you knew it was after you?
Yeah.
You just couldn't.
In a lighthouse or something that can't take ages to get to you.
You have to sleep in Jeff's house, that place where he's got like the
with
tin cans.
With all his traps.
Yeah.
I think if I wanted to relax, the solution really is to sleep with a celebrity and then just watch their Twitter. And as long as they're still alive... You know you were right. So go and chat up George Clooney or, you know, Taylor Swift apparently is very nice to her fans. She bought that girl a Nando's once, so I'm sure if you explained it to her.
Yeah.
She'd jump on. Yeah, and then you say, look, you're going to help me out, otherwise a ghost is going to get me. And then you just follow her Twitter until you hear that your celebrity of choice has had their legs snapped off. Then you're safe. Get up every morning, check your
variety
Twitter.
Variety headline.
Yeah, you're safe.
Taylor's just gone too far this time. She had her leg snapped off. Okay.
Until you read the headline, you're safe as houses.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Pretty good idea.
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to pretty much do it for this one. We are moving on to next week. We are doing Night of the Living Dead, which is, you know, pretty timely with George's passing. So it'd be nice to watch that one. And is there anything else you guys want to say before I wrap up? Thanks for coming on, Andy.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much. It's been a lovely time.
Yeah.
Delightful.
You're welcome to come on whenever you want to in the future. Just turn up. This is pretty much the time we record, so just get on Skype and then jump on. Okay, so this show is brought to you by the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron for early access episodes at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Kalman for our theme music. The outro music that's playing right now is actually music of Edward Harvey. It's a song called Murder on White Willow Lane. He's one of our friends from the Horror Hangout Facebook group. Come join us there. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude. Thanks, Ben. And thanks again to Andy.
Thank you.
Alright, bye.
Bye! We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.